Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center and renowned nutrition and fitness expert, and Michelle King Robeson, founder of EmpowHer.com and leading women's advocate, cut through the confusion and share the naked bottom line truth about all things woman. It's Her Radio.
Oh boy, you know, I opened up another newspaper, well, basically my iPad, and there it is again, sexual trauma. It's everywhere.
It is, and it's so, I know so many women who have been faced with sexual trauma, so I'm so glad that we're doing this segment today, Pam.
Oh yeah, I mean, I know that you've said it, that on Empower Her, there has just been a lot of chatter and conversation, and it's really deeply emotional. And I'm just really happy that Dr. Jane Symington is here, speaker, author, educator, and therapist, who can help us, you know, attack some of these tough questions about how to heal yourself after sexual trauma. Dr. Symington is also the author of Journey to the Sacred, Mending a Fractured Soul. First, Dr. Symington, welcome to Her Radio. Dr. Symington, you state that sexual trauma happens more often than we realize. Can you name some of the ways in which sexual trauma can occur?
It happens across the lifespan. Childhood sexual abuse, adult sexual abuse. We're now having more incidents of elder sexual abuse. But also to be aware that sexual harassment in the workplace is taking place more. And people often get confused and think of sexual abuse as only physical contact, like rape or sexual assault, but it actually can also be verbalizations, innuendos. There can be the partner can be forced to watch pornography, forced to have sex with animals, forced to dress in provocative ways. So there can be many forms. And so don't just think that if it's happening in the workplace with words, that it's not sexual abuse, because it can well be.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think women take that a lot more than they should. And I think also you state that many who have been sexually abused feel that a major piece of their spirit has been robbed. And can you describe that for us a little bit more?
When trauma happens, the shock of the experience can actually cause a part of the psyche or a part of the soul to actually splinter off and remain as if it's frozen in time. And people can use language which can really help me and other therapists and themselves recognize that a part of them has remained in this kind of no man's place. They use language like, I feel so broken, I feel empty, I feel incomplete, I'm always searching. And they're really searching for that part of themselves that has remained out of their contact and unable to be able to be back in contact with them for a time until they have healing.
Right.
I have a lot of patients, sadly, who've experienced sexual trauma. And during this time when they're desperately seeking that piece of the spirit and the soul that has been robbed, they become self-destructive. And, you know, one thing is many of these men and women, for instance, overeat, put on weight for a lot of interesting reasons. The stress, of course, a lot of mind-body dissociation. Right. They may pick up addictions and just, really experience a lot of self-destructive behavior. Do you notice that, Dr. Symington?
Absolutely. And we do some exercise around that, because when parts of us, of our psyche, of our soul are missing and we don't know how to get them back, we try to fill them up with all kinds of things. And as you mentioned, food, addictions, drugs, alcohol, but these are spiritual pieces and they cannot be filled. They have to be returned. We have to reclaim those parts of ourselves to feel whole and complete again.
So let's talk a little bit about what is an energetic attachment to the abuser, for example.
All is energy. And so if there's someone that this abuser cannot, if you just cannot get him off your mind, you have energy cords attached to him. And so it's important to find ways, and especially sacred ritual imagery can really help to help the person cut those cords. So one activity that I frequently do with people is have them take a picture of themselves, put it on a large piece of paper, and they have to be very large and in the center. Take a small picture of the abuser, or even draw him if they don't have a picture, and then imagine the cords. And use sometimes I will use even big strands of wool or twine, and they attach those cords to that person. Then we actually, I'll take them into a very easy trance, ground them, because many people who have been sexually abused spend more time out of their body than in their body. They're so dissociative. Right. So first of all, we need to ground, use our breath to keep our spirit in our body, and then we cut the cords, and I actually have them then, we do a sacred fire, and they burn them in the fire. Sometimes I will also take them on a deep trance journey where we actually cut those cords at a very deep level. And people who are interested in that, I have a CD which is called Releasing Ties That Bind. They might find that very helpful as well.
You know, so I think that the whole, I think just the whole issue of making this so real, you know, kind of tangible. You see a cord, you cut a cord.
It. Yeah, you burn it.
Yeah, you know, it takes it out of just being sort of a mental exercise, because what happened to that person was physical in many respects.
That's right.
You know,
well, it's physical, and, it's emotional, you know, and it's spiritual.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. It's all of the above. It affects everything. Mind,
Absolutely.
Body, spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even for them to reclaim these parts of themselves, like there are imageries and sacred art therapy that we do, and using the elements to help them breathe their spirit back into their body. Because when they see that part of themselves, when I take them on a what I call a sacred journey to go back to that place where they were abused, they go back feeling very... They've lost that part, feeling very disempowered, but I spend a lot of time empowering them. And when we take that little journey and they go back and see that part of themselves, they will look exactly like they were at that age. Hmm. So they have to make that part feel safe. They have to update that part because that part's been frozen in time. And then they have to do a healing and welcome that part home. And we do a lot of art around that the imagery. So it has to be both a physical, it has to respond to both the right hemisphere where we see the images, as well as make sense to the left hemisphere that this is now part of our reality in the here and now. And doing that
kind of
thing is
very empowering. Is there a difference
between
men and women with this? You know, you're talking about the hemispheres, but men and women perceive things rather differently and utilize the hemispheres differently as well.
Well, the truth is, when trauma happens, we now know this from MRI studies, trauma memories are replayed through the brain's right hemisphere. And so they are, they're stored in the amygdala, which does most of its processing through the brain's right hemisphere. And so they're stored as highly charged feelings and often in picture form. And that's why to really heal trauma, we have to also engage the right hemisphere. So that's why creative activities and visualization are so powerful. But then we have to cross it over as well into the left hemisphere to make sense of with the left hemisphere of what's happened there in the creative strategies.
Yeah. I think that's
worked with men and women.
Yeah, I think that this
Sorry. With men and women, and really there's no difference between how these strategies seem to work and help them.
Well, I think that this helps us understand this
amazing,
a lot.
Really.
So how to heal yourself after sexual trauma, you've helped us answer this question. Dr. Symington, thank you so much for being with us on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, along with Michelle King-Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.